Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I want to go get that gold, whoever it is. Mom champ, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, your winner, the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous.
Matt and I are alive. We're still hanging in there. Busy show today. We have the main event. I love when we get both fighters from the main event on the same show. Angela Hill and Michelle Waterson. We talked to Angela back in May, and this is her fifth fight in a year, and this is a great main event.
Listen, Angela Hill should be mad. She should be mad, Jimmy. She should be on a how much fight win streak. She definitely, I thought she won that last. Yeah, I think she won that last
fight. Gudala fight. Yeah, I believe so. I think you're right.
And I remember watching it and being like, oh, no, because she's definitely more than done enough. I remember thinking that was a bad decision.
Yeah, and it's a part of fighting, but it's something I hate so much. And they say, well, it's like umpires in baseball, it's a part of it. But when somebody costs you a win and they can change the trajectory of your career, it does matter. And it's very frustrating when you see it. I'm going to look that fight up right now and see what was that. It was a split decision, but was the deciding, was it a one round difference or did they have like some crazy 30-27 in favor of Claudia?
Jimmy, you know what just popped into my ADD head?
What?
And popped right out. No. Is I got it. You know what else is part of the game is having thick skin. Yep. You know, we joke around on this show, Jimmy.
Sure we do.
It's a loose podcast. We have fun. Good we friend. Talk. We could be silly. Correct. Yes,
absolutely.
So I get a message. Now, a lot of times I write back to fans when they write message me, especially if they're fans of this show. So there was this girl who messaged me. It's like, well, you know, I'm a fan and yada, yada, but it was absolutely disgusting what you said about Corey Anderson. And I go, fuck. And then right away, I'm like, what could I have said about Corey? I like Corey. And then she reminded me, I read a little more. And, oh, you said he got knocked out of the UFC by Jan Blachowicz or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Hey, listen, man, it's a loose show. We joke around. He punched him so hard, he knocked him out of the UFC. It was a joke. Right? Not the best joke. I mean, but it's just me being silly. You got to understand, Jimmy, I broke onto this scene as a human highlight with that fucking spinning back fist that always pops up here and there. I don't give a flying fuck. You know how many times I got attacked and still get attacked? It's part of the game. I'm not attacking nobody. I'm having a fun time. So, I mean, I'm sure Corey would look at that and be like, ah, you fuck. But I don't know. I mean, we're joking around.
By the way,
trying to hurt nobody's feelings.
No, and you know how I took it, Matt? Like, you weren't shitting on Corey Anderson. You were praising Jan Blachowicz. You were actually talking to Jan and giving, like, dude, you knocked that guy out of the UFC. You kicked his ass. Like,
exactly. So it's not being like, dude, this guy hit him so hard he ended his career and got, no, ass.
Yeah.
We call that person an ass. I mean, listen. So then I tried to write back, you know, it's a joke. We keep things light. Well, I didn't take, you know what? Bye.
Good for you.
Blocked. Take care. Don't, I go, you know what? Don't listen. Bye.
People, block. People want to be right. They want to be right.
I get negativity. I get, but you know what? But when you try to like come back with a little, dude, I don't have time to be sitting here texting this bro. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to be nice. Well, listen, I'm almost sorry you took it that way. You might have taken it wrong. I was joking around. And,
sure.
You know, don't come at me with an attitude. Get that. Right. You know what? Get the fuck out of here.
Especially
you know,
if you're writing back I and just, clarifying.
I mean, I try to do it right. You know why? Because I'm just, I don't, because before that person wrote in as a fan. So I'm like, oh, let me, I know they like us. Let me, so I try to give a little like, this is how I meant that. And then when I get met with more of, no, listen, this ain't, you don't understand. This ain't a big conversation back and forth. It's me letting you know, oh, you don't like it? Go after you. Take a walk. Don't listen. Yeah, I got enough of the unfiltered army that understands me, Jenny.
Well, that's the problem. When you explain something, or any of us explain something in, from the public, go, no, I was just saying like this. And they go, yeah, but I took it like, it's like we're a culture obsessed with being right. So how about this? Instead of obsessively trying to be right, the person goes, oh, okay, he said this way, and I misunderstood it. It's on me. Like, it's on me for misunderstanding it. Like, it's always, they always have to try to correct you. No, this is why you meant it, because they don't want to be wrong.
It was worse because it was one of those things where I'm being nice and then I realize I'm talking to an idiot. Where it's like, well, I don't like when people disrespect my people. And, all right. Now I realize.
Wait, let me ask you. That was it a fan?
It's not a waste of time?
Was that someone who knew Corey?
What's that?
You think that's someone who knows Corey or maybe who's a big...
No, it's a girl from like the Czech Republic or some shit. Oh. Just a fan. Like they were like, oh, I listen all the way over here to Unfiltered. So I write, I make the miss. I'm too nice. I won't answer anybody back. Fuck everybody, like Ray Longo says. Ray Longo. First line, he comes on, he tells everybody, he says, fuck everyone.
Hello.
That's real. That's not a wig or anything. That's your hair.
That's my hair, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You're talking to two bald people. So it's always fascinating for me when somebody has, like, maintenance to do above the head. I have none, and Matt has none, and right, it's so minimum.
Yeah, same with my husband. He's, like, always enamored with it because he doesn't have anything going on.
Yeah, I'm the same with people with, really long, like, down the back hair. I'm like, it's not a nightmare to walk around with and to put a ponytail when you go to bed. So how have you been? We haven't talked to you in a few months.
I've been good. Just chilling, training. After the last fight, I was...
How salty were you? Were you a little upset?
I was so salty.
I don't blame you.
Every saltiness meme out there. I was the old lady with the like crusty lips. I was like, hey, you know.
That was,
I was
hey,
a flavor
listen,
of ice cream.
Hey, you've heard it before, Angela, but that was a rough one because you know why? You're going in there with a talented girl like that and you did what you had to do other than put her away. You won. I honestly feel you won the fight.
Yeah.
And it's like,
thanks,
then when it was over, and I remember we talked to you before, and I'm like, oh, man, she did it. That was great. And then to see you not get the decision, I'm like, ooh, that kind of hurt. No? Because I'm telling you, people like, because I don't know if people like, they don't know how you improved, how you've been fighting lately, but they might look on paper and say, oh, hey, look, You know, she's tough. She's got really good striking. But if Claudia gets it to the floor and yada, yada, and you just were able to just execute your game plan. And, you know, I don't want to stay in Negativeville. We can turn right out of here. But I'm just saying you should feel like you're on a hell of a winning streak right now.
I keep telling people I'm on a 6-fight win streak. And that's And when Gadelha was about to fight Zhang and Yan, I'm like, fuck those hoes. I beat both of them. So, so it's pretty funny. I just try to stay positive in that way. Just say, okay, like, it sucks that I lost those two fights. But at the same time, it's the best way to lose. You know, like the fans believe you won. Like people like you that I highly respect believe that I won. And the matchmakers are still respecting me to the point where they're giving me highly ranked opponents like Michelle Watterson next, as opposed to like sticking me back on the prelims and I'm still having to prove myself. And, you know, so it does feel like a win. And I still have that hunger, you know, I still have like that reason to go into the gym the Monday after the fight and just be like, fuck, I need to get better. I need to like make sure this doesn't happen again. So that,
yeah,
so that definitely wouldn't have happened if it was the same exact fight and I got my hand raised. I wouldn't have been in the gym. I would have been chilling. I was ready to take like a long vacation, just be like, hey, got my 3-in for the year, you know. But like after that fight, it just made me so much more hungry. It made me so much, you know, more determined to be a finisher as opposed to someone who's just a good fighter who was able to like outpoint. And, you know, I felt like I outclassed her, but, you know, if I can finish people, then I won't even have to deal with that anymore.
Well, you know, interesting you say that because, like, again, I think most people felt like you won that fight. And I always wonder, too, what is that like for the other fighter? They're like, the judges. But like, you know, when you look at Volkanovski against the Holloway, the rematch, I thought that Max won that fight. I thought, you know, Volkanovski is a great fighter. But then Dane at the press conference, like, did anybody have it for Volkanovski? Like even he was saying, like, he thought that Max won as well. Yeah. And I always wonder what it's like when somebody wins a big fight and they kind of deep down have to know, like, I got that one. Like, I'd rather be in your position almost where everybody is on your side and you're still going to get the ranked fights as opposed to people going, they didn't win that fight. And
yeah. Well, you know what? I've never gotten the benefit from that shit. So fuck them if they get a decision that they didn't deserve, you know? Like, even though it's never happened to me, I feel like I would at least be a little honest about it. Like, hey, I wasn't sure, you know, I was surprised that all judges scored it for me or something like that. You know, I feel like I would at least give the person credit. And Gedalia kind of did. She was like, Angela should be ranked in the top 10, which I thought was cool. But then she started talking shit afterwards. Like, I'm not going to give her a rematch because she disrespected me. And like, no, just say you don't want to rematch me because you fucking lost that fight. Well, she's not going to say that, but just say you don't want to rematch me because it was a hard fight and you already won. You know, don't try to make it about other things like respect. So, I wish I could have benefited from a weird decision like that, but it never goes my way when it's close. Like, it's always, even if I dominate in a fight, there's still somebody giving that person a 29-28. And it's like, how, you know, what are you seeing that I'm not, that my coaches aren't? So it's always frustrating, but it just gives me more fuel for the fire. You know, I'm going into the gym with more intensity than I did in my last camp. And I had like 4 months to prepare for this fight too. So I've been in there grinding the entire time.
But also, you know, they're giving you respect here in a sense that you're getting, you know, this is your first main event. I mean, that's huge.
You're
the main event. All eyes on you, Angela Hill.
I'm so excited.
Would you prefer your first main event? I mean, do you care, I should say, that there's not going to be an audience, or would have liked for your first main event to have an audience, or are you just indifferent with that?
I'm definitely one of those indifferent people. I don't feed off of the crowd that much. If anything, it's a distraction. So it's kind of nice to walk into an empty arena. You don't have people booing you or cheering you. You don't have that. It's like when you cut yourself off from social media the day of the fight, you know, like there's no notifications. There's no people going, you're going to win, you're going to lose. And like, even people cheering you on sometimes can like spike your anxiety and just make you go, oh shit. What if I disappoint them? So I'm kind of indifferent when I walk out there. I try to ignore the crowd. The best part though is after the fight's over and you're walking out and everyone's like, like, I love that. So that I'm gonna miss that for sure. Yeah. So that's the best thing. And hopefully, you know, after a good fight like this, I can ask for a title shot. Hopefully then we'll be allowed to have crowds again. But I don't know. It's crazy. Like, I feel like things aren't going to change for a while. So, I kind of just have to accept that this is the way it's going to be for a while.
Yeah.
Angela, you brought up before your bald husband. Is he, that's how I remember the bald husband.
The bald guy.
He's your trainer, correct or no?
Yeah, he's one of my coaches.
He's one of your coaches. So you guys met, how did you guys meet? At the gym there or at the?
No, we have one of those stupid, cute stories. So
I want to hear it.
Okay. I'll tell you. If you really want to know.
Yeah.
We met in art school on student exchange in Japan.
What? Wow. but he's your current. All right, go ahead. Explain.
Yeah. Okay. So we met in art school as kids. I was 21. He was 20. I was robbing the cradle. And we hit it off. He's from Scotland and I was from New York. Or I was living in New York at the time. So we hit it off. We spent like 6 months together. And then when we both went back to our schools, we stayed in touch. And then eventually he moved out to New York to like hang out and be with me. And then we just got married so he could stay.
You did? Wow. Okay. Yeah. But you were in love by that point?
Yeah, I was in love. I was like, you know what? I'd be happy if you stuck around. So yeah, we'll get married. But like, if we get a divorce, you got to pay for everything. Yeah. And he's like, okay, cool.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So,
when did you got married? How long ago then?
11 years. Yeah. 11
oh,
years.
Shoot.
What did you do in art school? Were you painting or were you sculpting?
My school was a Cooper Union School of Art. So they don't make you choose a major. It's kind of one of those artsy, fartsy schools. But I ended up focusing on animation there. And then when I got out of school, I was working in a couple animation studios.
Oh, shoot.
So yeah, like that was my origin story. And then when the recession hit in like 2008, they weren't really hiring people who had just graduated like me. So I was stuck like interning for a long time. Then I finally got a job. Then I got laid off. And when I got laid off, I had already had like one or two fights. I was just doing it for fun. And when I got laid off, I was like, hey, you know what? Let me just focus on this fighting thing because I make money bartending and doing private Muay Thai sessions than I am animating. And then that's kind of where my life took this turn towards being a full-time athlete. And after fighting, we both started at the same time, me and my husband.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, we both like went to this place called Evolution Muay Thai in New York. You probably heard of them. Maybe. Wait, no.
Where is that? Midtown?
Yeah, it's in Midtown.
I think I do know where that is.
It's an Australian guy, Brandon Levi. He runs the place. But do you remember Fight House?
No. What is Fight House?
Fight House was this crazy, like, shady place in New York where I started, and Brandon was there. My original coach, Brandon, was there. So we went to Fight House, and it was crazy because it had, like, boxers on one side, Krav Maga people on another, karate. Like, it was literally a fight house. Yeah, wow. And it was totally illegal. Like, they weren't supposed to have that many people in there at a time, that many showers or anything. You know how New York has all these crazy, like, laws. So one day during in-house fight, everyone, like, the people came in and they saw, the inspectors came in and they shut it down. So that's how my coach opened up his gym, Evolution Muay Thai. But so that's where we started. And me and Adam were both amateur fighters under him. And then when I went to North Carolina, where most people think I'm from, to like learn how to do MMA and start and transition into that and get on tough and all that. Adam came with me and he just became like the main coach out there. He was teaching the other guys I was trained with how to strike better. And that's kind of where he started wearing the coach hat more than the fighter hat.
Oh. How were you making money there when you were just training with? I mean, it's gotta be hard. You leave and you just go down to train. What were you doing?
Yeah, I saved up a ton of money. So I saved up like 10 grand, bartending. And then when I knew I was going to go down to North Carolina just to qualify to get on Tough, I didn't have any MMA fights at the time. It was a guy, a coach out there, Chad McFadder. He was looking for a girl to sponsor, pretty much to train her, teach her how to do MMA, and then put her on the show. So that was me. He picked me, and I went down there and I trained with him for a long time, and or for like a few months, and then he got me a fight about 2 days before the Tough tryouts. And then I went to the Tough tryouts and ended up getting on the show, even though I only had one fight. So that's kind of how I got into the UFC. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, it was rough because we didn't really have that much money saved up after like maybe a year there. Adam was bartending and I was just trying to like not spend that much, but also we were living at the gym. So we were living, at the gym at first, and then the gym moved into a church. So we were living at the church.
Oh my goodness.
It's an insane story. It requires a lot of time. There's a lot of,
no, but this will be, questions. This will be in your book one day.
Yeah, I keep saying they need to make another season of Kingdom, and then I'll just write like everything that happened to me.
How much do you like that show? Ray Longo is obsessed with that show. He loves it.
It's a good show.
He loves it. He's like, oh, the Frank Grillo. I got calm down, Longo. He's a real guy. All right, Longo.
Dude,
he loves that show.
Did you ever try to watch it?
You know what? I'm getting through. It's not that it's bad. It's good. But it's fucking depressing. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah,
oh my God. Jimmy, you'll love it. It's miserable.
Oh, I like a good miserable show. I do.
It is not. No, dude. It gets. And then once you think it's getting a little better, something else depressing happens.
Good.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like realistic. But it's good. But no, but that's why I love Longo, fucking Captain Miserable. He loves it. He's like, oh, it's a train wreck. I go, I want to see happy shit. You know?
Yeah. No, it's really
it is. It is
happy.
A good. It's a good show with layers and characters and
it's a good look. And I think the first couple episodes, I'm like, this show is stupid, but I like to hate watch things. So I like to watch things that I know are stupid, but I just get into it anyway. But then eventually I was just like, oh shit, they like really did their research. Like these characters, I know these people, you know?
You got Joe Stevenson in there, Joe Daddy Stevenson.
He's an
old school guy. You know, he's got jujitsu. Oh yeah. You see real guys in there. It's fun.
Yeah. But the characters were like on point. Like, I'm like, I know about five people who are like this, like crazy. I forget his name. The crazy one,
John Tucker.
Yeah. John Tucker. Right? Yeah. I know about five fighters like that, you know?
Exactly. Yes. Jimmy, you should give the show a try.
Yeah. I need a new show to get into too. I haven't, I just finished some documentary on Henry Lee Lucas. I've been watching a lot of documentaries because they're like five or six. I haven't gotten into like a real show. So maybe I will look at that.
Hey, documentaries are depressing too.
Fuck yeah.
They are. Yeah, they're very rarely uplifting. Nobody wants to see an uplifting documentary.
Hey, Angela, do you ever watch The Boys, the series on Amazon? Do you ever
love it? Yeah.
The season two just came out.
I watched like the first two episodes, but then I realized like, oh, I need to go back and watch the first season again, because I'm trying to remember what happened at the end, but there were a lot of like crazy twists, and I'm like, wait, what happened with his wife? What happened with that guy? Like,
it's good though. It's a good show though.
It's really good. I call Starlight Paige VanZant.
Oh shit.
That's so
that is funny. That I can see
Starlight.
That.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking when you brought up Tough? I really feel that someone like yourself and people that competed on Tough, when they fight now without the crowd, it's almost like they have some extra experience. Because when you're not used to it, it's almost like you're like, okay, I've been here before. I know what it's like to hear that thud and no sound, no audience reaction. Where for the first time, even when you get seasoned guys like Tim Elliott, who made the correction his second time without a crowd, he played it better.
Oh, okay.
He, But the first time between rounds, I remember him being like, it's too fucking quiet in here. Almost like, what the fuck? It feels like almost something illegal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you guys have that. You have that experience having a few fights in there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It makes a difference. It, like, it was kind of jarring the first time or when I did fight on Tough. But, you know, I only had one. Went kind of fast. But, but my fucking phone keeps sliding. Yeah, it was a little jarring. But, like, now I'm just like, oh, it's like a day in the gym, you know. It's I don't mind it. I actually don't mind it. Like I said, the only thing that's kind of sad is that you don't get all those people trying to like shake your hand and stuff when you walk out. And like, even if you lose a fight, like I feel like I would have gotten crazy applause after my last fight, walking out of the cage, you know. It just felt very anticlimactic to not get my hand raised, even though I felt like I should have. And then, well, and then just fuck it. I was so angry. I wanted to just start throwing things. Like, yeah. I saw like they still had the barriers up for some reason, even though no one was there. I just wanted to like toss it over and like, you know, kick one of the judges. But when you're walking out, it's weird because it's still like stupid silent. You're just, it's just like, now what, you know? So that's the only thing I don't like about fighting without a crowd, is that little moment afterwards where it just kind of puts a like punctuation on your performance. Like, even if you get subbed in the first round, people are like, hey, good job, yo, good job. Let's go on to the next one. You know, it's kind of nice being able to see that.
Yeah, I never thought of that. The after the fight moment of walking back to the dressing room. Yeah, I'm sure that's nice too. The energy of the crowd. And I mm-hmm. didn't think of that. You forget when the fight's over, then they just kind of go do the interview in the octagon. I feel bad, but like Joe Martinez and Bruce Buffer, I mean, what professionals, like to watch them do the announcement, like there's 15,000 people there.
Yeah, man. They got their energy going. I'm like, what are you guys on? I need some of that. I need some of that right before the fight starts, you know? Like, yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about my little main event moment, you know?
Yeah. Hey, how did this become the main? I mean, obviously, Glover and tested positive, and Thiago Santos, so they can't fight. But, did you immediately get the call and go, hey, do you want to move up? And did they ask both of you if you wanted it to be five rounds, or how'd that come about?
The first thing that happened was I saw people asking online. So that's always the first time, the first moment I noticed, oh, something's up. And then I hit up my manager. He's like, oh, let's wait and see what they say. And then I got a call from him saying, hey, are you willing to do five rounds? I'm like, hell yeah. And then, of course, I had to ask my coach, like, hey, you think I could do five rounds? He's like, hell yeah. So then we were like, all right, let's do it. So I think that's how it happened. I'm not sure if they were looking for a replacement for Santos, or because it was Glover, right, that tested positive.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if they were trying to find a replacement real quick, and that's why they didn't want to say yes immediately. But I was already happy about being the co-main. Like, that would be my second co-main in a row, but also just my second co-main ever. And I've fought people like Andrade and stuff and Rose. So it's just like, wow, it's finally happening, you know? Like, so I was already excited about co-main. And then when it was main event, I'm like, oh, cool, even better, you know? So it's exciting. It's exciting. Even though it was just like, even though it just happened by default, it's still a big achievement, I think.
And it's a huge opportunity, not only the main event, but a main event versus a well-known person like Michelle Waterson. Yeah. I mean, people know her, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You're looking to take all that smoke.
I'm taking it.
The coffee's kicking in. But I know you are, though. I mean, is that?
Yeah.
And not only that, she's very dangerous to fight. Listen, she's dangerous anyway. But when you're fighting with somebody coming off a couple of losses, they got their back against the wall, it feels like. Mm. That's a little – you, on the opposite end of the spectrum there, you should have that confidence of the momentum behind you.
Yeah.
Even with that fuck up with the judges last time, you should have the momentum of someone on that winning streak.
Yeah.
she's gonna have, she might have some anxiety. We're gonna be talking to her after this. I mean, I don't want to freak her out, but I'll ask her about it. I know what it's like to come off a couple of balls. Wait, what did you say?
I said, tell her I'm a fuck her ass up.
Yo, she's in the zone. You are in the zone. Yeah. So listen, so it doesn't matter that she's coming off a couple losses, or if it was a couple of wins, it doesn't mean anything. She got her back against the wall.
No, it doesn't mean anything. And I think her last fight was so weird and so like gross to someone like me. Yeah, like her fight against Carla, it was kind of a perfect example of how flawed the judging system is in MMA, because you have two girls trying to play the point game, and apparently they both played the point game successfully to two separate people. But yeah, it's just ridiculous that they were both able to get 30-27s with two separate judges, and then there's just the one judge who's like, I'll just flip a coin and say that person won. So it was really gross to me, and I'm hoping that, you know, I've heard like little bits here and there of her saying, oh, I'm gonna bring the fight, I'm not gonna try to strategize, I'm gonna try to punch her in the face. I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, because you usually don't do that when you fight. You usually don't try to punch people in the face. But yeah, it's I'm hoping that she tries to bring the fight and doesn't play this point game, because that's just going to play into my style of fighting even better. I'm not going to have to think. I'm not going to have to, like, you know, wait for her to engage. I can actually just be in that flow state, and that's where I perform better always, you know, win or lose. So yeah, I'm hoping she does that. If not, I have had 4 months to game plan for her stupid point fighting style of popping in and out and trying to get a takedown every now and then and holding, you know. So I've like worked on all the defenses for that, all the offenses that I think would work well if she tries to fight me how she normally does. But I'm prepared for whichever Michelle shows up. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get it done. Yeah. I'm excited to, like, you know, party afterwards. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good fight.
And as much as we've talked about this a few times too, as much as the coronavirus has been, like, you know, it's been a devastating thing, but you look at like certain opportunities that have come up for fighters that just because of the nature of fighters dropping out or having to not fight. So, like, you know, you guys are getting a main event out. So it worked out well. Like, you'll get to showcase yourself in a 5-round fight, like Matt said, against a very well-known fighter. And so sometimes these things, as terrible as they are, there's something good comes out of it for people.
For sure. I'm hoping, like, it sounds cheesy because obviously I like fighting and I like getting paid, but it's also kind of cool to be in the forefront because there's no other sports going on right now. It's kind of a milestone. I didn't set out to do it, but like, it's a milestone being the first Black American woman to headline a UFC event. So maybe those things are like, you know, giving people a little bit of hope, a little bit of distraction, just giving them a reason to tune in. And oh man, I think I have something to do right now.
I'm gonna let you go.
I think I'm in trouble. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, it's always good talking to you. We enjoy talking to you a lot. Love watching you fight, and this is great. Congratulations on the main event. We're happy for you. And by the way, I'll say UFC is the only sport really where no crowd is okay. Two people just fighting. They don't put stupid mock-up photos in the stands. It's the sport that's doing the best. So good luck on Saturday. Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks
Andy.
So much. Thanks, all right, guys.
Bye, Angela. Talk to you again.
Take care.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So I'll tell you, Jimmy, Dana White contender series. Mm-hmm. So good last night.
Yeah.
You want to read it? Or do you want me to go? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I know what you're doing. You go. I don't know what you're doing.
You don't trust the way I pronounce things, Jimmy. And I
like how you pronounce it.
Well, listen. Tafon. Fuck, go fuck yourself, Jimmy. Could you fucking leave? Throw me a lifeline here.
I believe it's Nchukwi. Nchukwi, I could be incorrect.
But all I know is, what a freaking high kick. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Second round knockout. And he has a contract, and deservingly so. Sherrod Blackledge defeated Cameron Church. And this is the one that was what's that?
That was the decision.
And this is the decision. And Sherrod did not get the contract. And Dana invited him back to fight again on the Contender Series. I feel that we're going to see him in the UFC.
Yeah.
You know, he had a tough upbringing and like other fighters, there was some hardships in his life. And that guy's about perseverance. He fought a very tough Cameron Church. I mean, because you got to look at some of these guys that they're fighting.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if a guy, you know, because, I mean, that was a tough, tough guy, Cameron. It was close on the feet. But the difference was Sherrod's takedowns and ground control. And I don't know, man. When it ended, he was looking to strike at him. Dana said he wanted a little bit. He did not like the third round. He wanted a little bit more. So we will see Sherrod back.
And, so he won, but he didn't get the contract. But he is getting a shot to fight again. So which means Dana sees something in the guy that he likes. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or else he wouldn't be invited back. So
of course not.
And I'll tell you right now, I think we're going to see Cameron Church back again too. I mean, that's just me saying it, but he might have to go off and win again. I don't know how it works. I'm sure. But he's good. That guy, Cameron was good, and he was dangerous, and he was, he was trying. So I want to see that guy back again. Phil Harz versus Kadzi Bestavov. Yes?
Yeah.
Or close enough?
Yeah.
Funny, Jimmy. Beautiful fight, Jimmy. TKO, first round, minute 18. I mean, just powerful, dangerous. I'll tell you, some of these knockouts, both from Phil Hawes and from Draco Rodriguez. Oh, no, my bad. Draco Rodriguez, beautiful, Jimmy. Tell you.
You were talking about this before the fight. Before our podcast.
Yes, he did a nice takedown, ended up on top. Did he end up on top from a takedown? Yes, I believe he did. They're all Jimmy, I just got done watching these fights.
It's okay.
Sometimes they all blend in. So I got
There's a lot of fights.
This is what I'm sure of. He was on top. And, you know, Mano Martinez was, throwing up some arm locks, trying his best off his back. He threw on an omoplata. Now, listen, he got the reversal. He got on top. The only problem is he went right into Draco Rodriguez's triangle, which was such a beautiful transition where you see Mana getting on top from the omoplata. He does a forward roll to get out of the submission. And as Mano Martinez is getting on top, Draco throws on the triangle, and he was in it for a few seconds, for a little bit, where it was on so tight, Mano Martinez did not know the proper escapes. Listen, you might just get caught dead to rights, even if you know the escape, you could be still screwed.
Sure.
But he wasn't attempting the correct escapes by possibly both hands grabbing the knee that's available right in front of your face, and you could just pin it to the floor, sprawl, look to open up a carotid artery, and not get strangled. There's ways to sit back, throw a leg over. There is technical ways to attempt to get out.
When tell when someone is trying to escape properly and is just in the hold, and you could tell when somebody is not escaping properly.
No, Jimmy, because what he tried to do was reminiscent of Quentin Jackson versus Ricardo Arona back in the Pride days, where Ricardo had a triangle, and Rampage, who was a big, powerful dude, put his pelvis forward, lifted him up above his head, and slammed him down, and actually hit him with a headbutt. But he got slammed unconscious, you know, and got out of it. That'll work sometimes, but that's a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
If it works, great. If you slam him and he's not unconscious, you're out. Similar to with Matt Hughes and Carlos Newton. And that's what got Matt Hughes the title, which technically he should have, it should have been like a no contest because he was put to sleep. He got hit a triangle. Carlos held on to the cage, let go of it, slid down. He was passed out. He was knocked out. Matt Hughes came too quicker. You know what I mean? So to avoid that for the guy on bottom, when you have a triangle choke, anybody going to lift you, even if you're applying head pressure on the head, you control under a leg. That way they can't
lift you
more than a foot off the floor. So they're not slamming you. But if you abandon that, then, you know, either you're slammed or somebody's going out.
Didn't Rampage try that too? I remember, maybe I'm crazy remembering a fight where he tried that and it didn't do what he wanted it to. Maybe I'm just creating that memory in my head. Or maybe I'm just thinking of another slam. I can remember him picking somebody up and slamming them, but I think he couldn't shake them loose. And I wish I could remember the fight, but I can't.
Well, let me tell you something about this Dagestani fighter. Alaskab Kursarov. Did I say okay?
Yeah, oh, no. Perfect.
Jimmy, can you say it now? Can you give the guy proper respect? This guy's a guy you don't want to fuck up his name, Jimmy. Trust me. You look
good in business.
50 seconds in the first. Are you going to say his name?
I'm no better at pronouncing things than you are. I like that all of a sudden you think I'm Alex Trebek. I'm a high school dropout.
Oh, shit. Michelle is ready. Let's go.
Yeah, she's ready.
Oh, and by the way, he won. Alex Trebek. He won in 50 seconds with a rear naked choke. You could not look better. The guy was amazing. Yeah. Great fights on the Contender Series. Let's talk to Michelle Waterson. How are you, Michelle?
I'm feeling great. I'm so excited that, unfortunate events didn't allow the main events to happen, but, you know, I'm definitely excited to step up to the plate and take that spot.
Yeah, we were just talking. We literally just talked to Angela, and I guess did they have to get both of you, I guess, to agree to five rounds? And it was smart that you both did, because now you got yourself a main event.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I knew Angela was going to be game because she's just game to take any fight. You know, she's kind of like that. You know, they say that she's kind of like the cowboy in that sense where she's just ready to go. And, you know, we're always training for championship rounds anyways. So we're excited to capitalize on that opportunity.
Where are you right now?
We just got checked out and everything. The team went and got breakfast, and we stopped to hear off at the outlets just to walk around, get some vitamin D.
Nice,
you know,
nice.
Just to get like a little bit. Now your last fight, because you know you're against. I think it was Esparza was your last fight. Yeah. We were talking about the judging. I think. Was it 27-30 for you? 27-30 for her? Is that Angela?
Yes.
Now, is that correct?
It was something crazy. It was an odd night. I think there was a couple of bad calls, I would say, throughout the night. But, you know, that's kind of one of those things that are out of my control. And
sure,
just walking away from that fight and something that I took away is that I have to be more eager to finish the fight. I have to go in there with a mindset to finish.
Because when you see two judges seeing the polar opposite, the 29-28, you can go, all right, it's one round. But when you see 27-30 opposite directions, both fighters have to be going, what the fuck, what do they want? Like, I don't know what these judges are looking for.
And that's the thing, too. It was just like, you know, I think it was a whole different experience for everybody across the board, for the commentators, for the coaches, for the fighters, and even for the judges. Because I could hear her corner, you know, saying things out of desperation. Come on, Carla, you got to do something. You got to take her down. You know, you're losing the rounds. And I could even hear the analysts saying the same thing. So in my mind, you know, I was in the clear. I was winning the fights. I was picking my shots. I was stuffing her shots and hitting her on the way out as I was stuffing her shots. That's why they say don't leave it in the hands of the judges.
You know, and Michelle, it's hard to say, like, that you could have been busier and stuff. Carla's a hard person to win a decision from because one wrong move and she's underneath you again and you're fighting her off. And it could be annoying as heck to really let go because you want to let go, but you're like, I know she's just going to shoot. Right? We talked about this before the fight, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think that's where I got to I limited myself because I have really good wrestling and I have really good jujitsu. So it shouldn't have mattered if she got underneath me. You know, like I should have let, you know, if it hit the ground, it hit the ground. My jujitsu is good. I have 9 wins by submission. And I just got stubborn in my head. And because she's a wrestler, I wanted to prove that she couldn't take me down. Yeah. Yeah, cool. You proved that she couldn't take you down, but then you lost the fight, you know? Gotcha. Where, you know, in another sense, you know, we could have hit the ground and I could have caught her in an arm bar or a reverse position and then ended the fight on top. And that's just, you know, my stubborn thinking. And sometimes when you get in those zones, it's hard to get yourself out of it.
Now you have, for a main event, you have a fantastic dance partner. I mean, you have, so I doubt that Angela Hill is going to jump the guard or shoot a double leg. She might. You never know. She might surprise us all and do a fucking flying arm lock. But I believe that she's going to want to put those fists on you. And that just makes, with your style standing up, you know, that makes for a very exciting fight on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. She's definitely, you know, that's her bread and butter is her stand up. And we got 5 minutes to throw down. So I'm excited.
And you actually have five minute rounds. To throw down.
Five minutes. I'm just thinking in my head, the plan is I got 5 minutes to finish her. You know what I'm saying?
100%. But is that a little bit more relieving instead of fighting like a Tatanina Suarez or somebody that's going to really try to really grapple you? Now, at least, you know, hey, listen, I know you should be saying, hey, screw that. If they want any, give me anybody, but it must feel good knowing that you have another stand up striker.
I kind of pride myself in being a mixed martial artist. So, and what I love about MMA is that you can take it wherever it needs to go. But for sure, for a main event, it's going to be fireworks.
And, you know, you're coming off 2 losses, but in fairness, it's 2 former champions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way to look at it. And it's not like you went in there and got smoked by 2 former champs. You know, you got 30 minutes worth of experience with them, too. That one, wait, was Joanna ahead of main event?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. My bad. So you got even more time.
Yeah. And that's how I take it, I guess. You know, if you're going to fall forward. And that's what I did. I fell forward. I learned from it. And, as long as I've been in the game, I do feel like I'm continuing to grow and evolve. And, you know, that's the most I can ask for, is to continue to grow and evolve and to not be stagnant in my style and to continue to add to my tool set.
Is there any mindset you get? Because you had you had lost 2 at one point, and then I think you won 3 straight after that. So you were able to kind of straighten it out. Is there anything in your head that when this happens where you're like, okay, I have to do this? Is there any additional urgency?
I don't particularly like the idea of it falling into a pattern. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I guess that was the pattern that it had fallen into. Like you were saying, Matt, there's no shame in losing to those ladies. They're both former champions, and my last fight was a super controversial loss. My mindset is to, I think when you fight for so long, every single fight that I fought in the UFC outside of my debut has been up against a top 10 ranked opponent. And I feel like, I'm constantly trying to climb the ladder to get to that championship belt, and the pressure of a win or of a loss can get to you. And instead of going in there to have fun and to do what you love, sometimes you can overthink things and you can allow things to become more complicated. Wow. You can allow the pressures to bog you down. And I think that's what ended up happening. I tried to over-strategize things, and I was, you know, I was looking at the trajectory of my career and, you know, what the difference between a win and a loss could be. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, why do I fight? What is it that keeps me fighting? It's because, one, it forces me to face my fears, and it gives me a challenge like no other in life. And I know that regardless of the outcome, that it's going to make me a better person and a better martial artist. And 2, that adrenaline rush that I get when I go in there and there's no turning back after they shut the door behind you. And when the first punch flies, it's like you're going on a roller coaster. And those are the things that I need to remember, the why I got into fighting to begin with, is because it's that adrenaline rush. It's that climb. It's that journey. And I've gotten to this point now where I'm enjoying the journey again. And I'm actually looking forward to, you know, to connecting, on Angela. I'm looking forward to inflicting the most damage.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounded so, that was very, you said that so nice and calmly, but it was kind of scary too at the end.
Yeah.
Inflicting the most damage. Yes. I'm psyched, Jimmy. I'm looking forward to
I'm happy for both of you you hate to see it because of Glover testing positive, but I mean, again, these things happen, and UFC has done a great job, I think, of making sure that there's always an interesting fight as the co-main, because you guys are a great co-main, and you'll be a great main event. So I think that they've almost been strategic in doing that, where they're putting other things on the card that they know they may have to main event. So, you know, I'm happy for you that you guys got this, and this is a great fight this Saturday night. We just talked to Angela. She is definitely ready to go. She's fought a lot more. This is her fifth fight in the 12-month period. So if there's any advantage I could see for you, like aside from it would be that you might be a little bit better rested, because she's definitely had some a lot of fights recently.
Yeah, you know, every fight is different. So, you know, it could be an advantage to her that she's been so active and just capitalizing off the momentum. It could be a disadvantage because she is so active. Who knows?
Right.
You know what I mean? It could be an advantage to me because I fought more 5-round fights. It could be an advantage to me because I train at altitude in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But that's what makes watching fights so interesting. And I'm excited to get in there with her on Saturday and throw down.
Well, thanks for talking to us again. You know, we enjoy you, and your fights are always good. And good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, Michelle, you're a great role model for your daughter, Michelle. You're fantastic.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
All right. Michelle. Nice talking to you again, Michelle.
Bye, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Who are you taking in this fight?
Oh, wow. Right to picks, Jimmy.
Sure.
This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that I'm going to take Angela Hill by decision. And it's rough for me to say that because I don't know if she's the better fighter, but I feel that she feels on top of a game, and she feels like she's on a 6-fight win streak, because she very well could be, you know, where Michelle's been having a little bit of a tough time lately. Like that last fight, you could argue that she should have, I mean, listen, again, she probably learned from it. She's shown a good grappling game, jiu-jitsu game in the past, but I mean, when I think about Claudia Gadella and I think how good her ground game is, it's like Angela Hill's been training for that already. And the way she executed a game plan, she's just looking so short lately. That's why I'm going with her.
Yeah.
And I think that Michelle's definitely could get the win, but I'm not flip-flopping. I'm just saying that I'm going to give it to Angela.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think they both had a couple of questionable decisions. I'm also going to go with Angela. And again, no disrespect to Michelle. I just, after talking to her, and because she has been so active and she is coming off that, you know, I think that I'm going to take her by a 4th-round stoppage.
Now, Jimmy, the next fight, Kama Worthy.
Oh, yes.
versus
Ottman and Zaitar. Yes.
Now this is the, let me tell you what I got today. Remember I tell you, I sometimes fans reach out to me and shit.
Yeah.
You know that? Well, sometimes when they do that, I take a picture of it so I remember it because I got ADD. So I'm going to it right now. This is what I got. This is what I got from somebody on Instagram. And it's from Chris Deep, who's a fan of UFC Unfiltered. What's up, man? I don't want to bug you, but if you get a chance, check out my bro, Calma Worthy, on the show. I don't know what the hell that means. He's probably, I think he's trying to say get him on the show. He's now the co-main event Saturday versus Ottman. But you guys would get along. He tortures me with Star Wars stuff. The way you torture Jim. That's what he says. His nickname is even the Death Star. And a gym owner too. And his Instagram is at DeathStar1. Just a thought. Thank you and love the show. No, Chris Deep, thank you. And I'll tell you right now, note to self. Now, well, first of all, I'm picking Calma just for that. Now, I'm only kidding. Listen, he's a great fighter either way. But I like that he's a Star Wars nerd. I did not know that. I should have picked it up on the fucking Death Star is his nickname. What the fuck am I thinking? Death Star. You know what Death Star is? It's a planet killer. A planet killer, Jimmy. You ever think your partner's pathetic? You ever think
I'm pathetic? No, not pathetic. Crazy. Yeah, but not pathetic. No.
Number five in the world in my video.
Absolutely.
Top five, as of last night. You don't give a fuck. I care as much as my wife does. But
by the way, Zaitar's undefeated.
That's not a turn on.
Zaitar's undefeated. 12-0. I'm going to take him, and he has done nothing. But
wait, who's undefeated?
Zaitar.
Yeah. But 1-0 in the UFC, though.
Yeah, I'm saying he's 12-0 overall, and I think Worthy has more experience, but he's 16-6. His last fights, overhand right, punches, a kick, a punch. Jimmy. I mean, he does not do a lot of decisions, so I'm going to take him. And again, Worthy, I really like. He's a good fighter, but I think his Zaitar has looked so good. I'm going to take him with a second round stoppage.
Who?
Ottman Zaitar.
Oh, okay. Well, Jimmy, let me tell you something. I'm taking by second round submission.
Okay.
That's what I'm taking, Jimmy. And I'm taking Calma Worthy.
All right.
The Death Star. Jimmy, it's a planet killer, motherfucker.
Yes,
I'm going with him.
Okay.
All right. This is the way. He's going to understand what that means. That's for Mandalorian.
Jimmy. I'm sure he will.
The next season.
If he's a Star Wars nerd, yeah.
Well, then he'll get it. All right. I want him on here so me and him could giggle and then you'll be the outcast.
No, I'll geek out on Star Wars too. I'll say, did you ever see the Ewoks?
You could bring up that fucking Star Wars special to him like you did to Roxanne.
Oh, my God. That's all I want to talk to him about is what did you think of the tree fort that Chewbacca lived in? That was
wrong. Did you know they weren't going to use Ewoks? They were going to use a planet full of Wookiees, but they went with little Ewoks.
Sure. Well, that's more toys to sell. Why wouldn't you? When you could have a new marketable fluffy toy. I don't mind marketing toys, but it doesn't make me like a science fiction movie.
You should at least watch the episode of Bill Burr's episode in The Mandalorian. It's like a heist. It's like they got a jailbreak thing. They got to get the guy out of jail and the spaceships. Jimmy, so much fun, Jimmy.
All
right. Hey, let your tough guy guard down.
I can't help it, man. You know me. I'm just alpha.
So alpha.
I'm just an alpha all the time.
Listen, Roxanne.
Modifiers fighting, yes.
Versus Andrea Lee. I feel Andrea Lee's always on the, like, she has, like, fucking close fights. And she's done, like some of them are really close. And she doesn't get the decisions. I like Roxanne. Roxanne.
I know. Her Macy Barber win was very impressive.
Yes. You know, this is a rough one.
Andrea's coming off two losses.
I'm going to say because she's, I like Roxanne's jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
You know, and she's nerdy. So I might have to go for Roxanne. I mean, sometimes I choose with my heart and I know her a little bit better. Is that, sure. Is that unprofessional? I don't give a fuck. It's a podcast. We're not some professional analysts.
That's right. We're not even good podcasters.
Jimmy, no. Oh, sorry. Come on, man. Future's bright for us. People love us, Jimmy.
I hope so.
Besides some of the hate and some of the stuff I said today, people do write me and they like us. True.
Except for the people who hate us. They do love us.
Yes. Well, for the record, I wasn't shitting on Corey Anderson, everybody.
Yeah.
I like Corey. You know, I'm trying to make conversation with Jan. Anyway, listen, I'm going to say, I'm going to say Roxanne by decision.
Not I me. Can see,
oh, you better watch your step now, Jimmy.
Roxanne, third round submission.
Wow. Ooh. All right. All right. Okay. Ed Herman.
Yep.
Versus Mike Rodriguez. Oh. Huh. Oh. Who are you going with?
I don't know, man. I think.
Go with Mike Rodriguez because fucking Ed Herman's 40.
I'll take, yeah, I mean, that is, Rodriguez, I'm going to take.
But he is an angry ginger. Is that not politically correct to say?
That's true. I'm sure he'd tell you
that. Around with that. Are we still allowed to say that, or am I going to get protested with gingers?
I'm going to
take. Fucking around. Everybody lighten up. Could everybody lighten up a little bit?
Rodriguez. Sorry.
Yes.
Decision. I was going to say stoppage. God, I keep thinking he's going to, you know what? Mike Rodriguez. First round TKO.
I'm going with Mike Rodriguez, second round knockout.
Okay.
Okay.
Opening bout. Kyle Nelson.
Oh, Billy Q. I'm going with Billy Q.
Billy Quarantillo. Yeah. He.
Quarantillo.
His last is very tough.
Billy Quarantillo.
Didn't he fight off a pretty
it's so much fun.
Brutal onslaught by Carlisle in that last fight. I want to say Carlisle, if I remember. That was
a good fight.
What a great fucking fight that was.
I like that other guy. He's freaky, Carlisle.
Oh, he's
good,
always
making weird noise, funny things. He's always making.
Yeah, Quarantillo is extremely tough to not only have survived that, but have gotten the win. I'm going to take Quarantillo by decision over Nelson, a Canadian fighter, 13-3. Very good. But Quarantillo was so impressive in that last fight.
Third round submission, Billy Q.
Yeah, Spike Carlisle. Even after that loss, I can't wait to see Spike fight again.
I don't know if you heard me, though.
I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. No. I'll never come at you like that again.
You're right.
You know you're my little bird. Jimmy, just like in the movie My Bodyguard, if people want to Google that and look it up, that little fucker guy, that little kid had that big dirtbag as his Jimmy, I'm your protector. Until you get your level up, where you can defend yourself under the great Jimmy Rivera. You know, I mean, listen, somebody comes at you now, I think maybe you have a chance.
Sure, I'm in trouble.
Of running away. But
I'm in trouble.
I feel another 6 months with Jimmy, you know, you don't need me on speed dial if somebody attacks you, Jimmy. I'm not that far from the city.
I like to say this. I don't run. I jog quickly. That's what I say. I don't run from trouble. I jog away from trouble very quickly. And you're talking about either Moody and the guy he had, Mike, his bodyguard. Hey, I hear you picking on Moody. Or do you mean Clifford Peach and Ricky Linderman?
Yes, that's who I meant.
Creepy Ricky Linderman in his army outfit. The least intimidating fucking bully ever. The guy in the park was a... By the way, that guy in the park who beat the fuck out of him and took his moped.
It was kind of scary because that guy was your typical idiot. Like he was.
But he's only done like one movie and that was it. Or one other film. Though. Yeah, he was.
For the people that don't know, this movie came out before most of our audience.
1980.
And it's called My Bodyguard.
That's right. Christopher Makepeace.
Yeah, a kid that was. It was pretty deep, man. It was a kid that was getting picked on. And he made friends with another kid that was kind of like a scary kid around town that people had rumors.
Adam Baldwin. He's in Full Metal Jacket. He's a great actor.
What's his name again?
Adam Baldwin. Not related to Alec Baldwin. Adam Baldwin. He was in Full Metal Jacket. He played Animal Mother. And then you have
He was great.
Ruth Gordon was in that. Remember Ruth Gordon? She played Martin Mull. Like Martin Mull was in it. I think his mother was Ruth Gordon.
And
the old lady.
Matt Dillon.
John Huston. Yes.
Matt Dillon was the prick. Matt Dillon, who was in The Outsiders, another old movie. And, his brother is Kevin Dillon, who was in Entourage. Okay, people, we're just going over some movie, movie trivia.
Was it John Huston in My Bodyguard? Nope, sorry, not John Huston. I apologize. John Houseman, I think it was. Hold on.
Okay, but Houseman. I'll tell you, it was a good movie.
Dude. It was great, dude.
So I want me and you to reboot that.
Now,
it might not be great though, because you're not a little kid. So
no, I'm not. And if
maybe you're at the comedy club, and then somebody, there's a new comic that's being mean, and I come in, and we could think, you know, maybe somebody could write something up.
Who was Jennifer Beals is in that? Jennifer Beals plays Shelley's friend. Joan Cusack is in that.
Only Jennifer Beals was in that. She was the kid.
Jennifer Beals. Kids. She played a kid.
No, there's no way. You got me thinking of somebody else.
Nope.
Jennifer Beals.
Uncredited as Shelley's friend.
How old was she? She's been so young. No,
I honestly don't.
Is she younger than me? That can't be possible.
I guess. I don't know.
All right, Jimmy, we're losing.
At least before we go, let me just get this guy's name. That? Who was the fucking Hank Salas, his name is. And he was only in, he was in a couple things. Dr. Detroit from like 80 to 85. He did a few movies. And I always wonder like what happened because he stopped doing movies. Did he give up or did he move on in life? Is he alive? Like, you always wonder what happened to people. Hank Salas is the bald bodyguard. Anyway, I'm babbling.
Yes, sir. Jim, did you know that Overeem broke Sakai's ribs?
Four of his ribs. I think in two different knees. It's funny when you watch those knees. Like, we don't realize, at least I don't as a non-fighter, realize how much those fucking knees are doing damage. And no one uses their knees better than Overeem. Nobody, those giant knees drilling up into you. And that was the plan. Get him up against and push those fucking huge knees into him. So that's why he said he couldn't defend the takedown.
No, I don't know about that.
I mean, that was what he said. That's what Sakai said.
Yeah, I'm not coming up with an excuse. Oh, he said, all right, what made things difficult for me, and I'm not trying to come up with an excuse here, was the pain in my ribs. Even then, I tried to endure it as much as I could. Well, listen, Sakai, no one's calling you a wimp.
No.
You're a tough guy.
Sure.
I'd still get with a jiu-jitsu coach and a wrestler. Yep. I mean, listen, the ribs might have been, even you down there wasn't looking great. But again, you know, your ribs busted and you fighting still. I give you a lot of credit for that.
By the way, he broke one with his knee and one with his elbow. Fucking Overeem's elbow. Imagine if his ribs broken with an elbow. Oh, that's got to hurt.
First of all, the ground and pound by Overeem was as beautiful yet brutal as they come. Yeah. Okay. It was a beautiful kind of violence and I loved it. And much respect to Ricardo Lamos. Maybe you should get him on.
Yeah, great fight. His last fight was a great fight.
Let's get him on here to say goodbye.
Would love to. Yeah, he's announced his retirement. 38 years old, I guess. He maybe feels like he's done it. But he looked incredible in his last fight. So congratulations to him on going out with a win. You don't see a lot of guys do that, to look as good as he looked.
Hey, Kamal Worthy, let's get him on here, especially things go straight, you know, get things go right.
Yeah, let's do that.
I want to talk to him. I like talking to fellow nerds.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
I like dangerous nerds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Jimmy?
It's a great show. So you ought to write that show. That's a great show. Dangerous nerds. You're gamers by day and ninjas by night.
Did you bring up gamers because I'm ranked number 5 now in Stand Up Battle Royale?
I did.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy. Sometimes I don't know whether to brag or just kind of keep it low so I don't embarrass myself.
Let me brag for you. Either way,
thank you, Jimmy.
Let me brag for you.
And you know what's even great, Jimmy? I always say I'm going on Twitch and I'm never doing it, and people are asking me, isn't it better that I'm doing it for the love of the game? Isn't it
better? Yeah. Money is always better, but yeah.
Money is better, Jimmy. I'm you know what the thing is? I'm being fucking lazy. I should get on Twitch. All right, listen, Jimmy. Fights this weekend. Is it a pay? What do we got? Where is it? Give a proper plug.
Saturday night. Hold on a second. I put the pages. My laptop, there's so many.
I'm sorry, every
page. Jimmy. No. That's okay, buddy. Let me just grab it.
I mention how much I like HelloFresh?
I don't know.
I had the beef with the right rice. It was so good, Jimmy.
Oh, you do like it?
I do like it, man. I'm ordering them from now. Not even because they sponsor. This is not a sponsor read. I love it. I feel good, too. I saw them out for 3 hours yesterday. Go ahead.
Fight Night, Waterson Hill is, of course, This Saturday, it's at the Apex in Vegas, and prelims are 5 o'clock and the main is at 8, the main card. So it's great. It's a little earlier than the pay-per-views if you want to watch it, and then maybe, I don't know what else you'll do on a Saturday night. And just a quick mention, Camacho against Brock Weaver on the prelims will be an interesting fight. Ooh. As well. Bobby Green, Alan Patrick.
Bobby Green's back already. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So Jara Eubanks is fighting on the prelims. So there's some really, really good matchups on the prelims as well. So 5 o'clock on Saturday night. Now, is that East Coast time? Let me just make sure that I'm not being an asshole.
I love East Coast time. Love that there's so many fights lately, Jimmy.
I do too. It's driving me crazy. No. I'm so happy.
Saturday, I wake up, I tell the kids, fights tonight. Hey, Daddy likes his fights. I love it, Jimmy. You know?
I do too.
Hey, listen, I will, I'm sure I'll talk to you before Monday, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Long time without me speaking to my Jimmy.
You got it.
All right, buddy?
Yes.
Hey, thank you, Unfiltered Army, and thank you, Jimmy Norton.
Talk to you soon, pal.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.